This is Maria from Detroit Reworks Denim.
Hi, this is Blake.
And Lola.
And we own Kitsch & Vintage.
Hey guys, this is Corey from Clarabelle Art.
Hi, I'm Tess.
And I'm Mary, and this is the Etsy Success Podcast.
We're part of the seller marketing team here at Etsy, broadcasting from Etsy's headquarters in Brooklyn.
This podcast is powered by Etsy and is your source for tips on improving your shop and for inspiration from your fellow sellers. Last year, we saw a lot of really cool trends on Etsy and everywhere, basically. One of the big ones was slime, which I know that you tried once.
I did try making slime. I mean, I did make it. It just wasn't the most beautiful thing in the world, but it felt really nice.
Yeah, I mean, like, not everybody has the slime hands, you know?
Is that what they call it? I wish I had the slime hands, if only. Alas, I don't know if that's really my forte. But I think my forte is in purchasing items such as personalized pet gifts.
Are you talking about the gift that you got for me yesterday?
Possibly. I possibly might be referring to the earrings of Buster, the two-toothed cat.
I'm wearing them right now. Yeah, they're little studs and they have his face on them. And it's just like a really glorious thing.
But yeah, that's one reason that trends generally are really important to pay attention to, because it could be a really huge opportunity for your shop if it really fits with your aesthetic.
Yeah, and there's always so many trends going on at the time. So even things like color are like huge. The unicorn trend was a huge thing, whether it was like unicorn prints or people having the horn headband thing. Mm-hmm. But even just pastel, rainbow colored, sparkly things were just everywhere.
Yeah, like you don't have to have the exact image of a unicorn, but just incorporating that palette and then marketing it as unicorn version of that thing.
Right, yeah, and that could be the case for like vintage as well as handmade. I'm sure there's a ton of 90s vintage stuff that would live in that unicorn category.
Yeah.
I mean, if a unicorn latte can exist, a unicorn everything can exist, in my opinion.
The unicorn latte was a big
deal.
So we're going to get into some more ways that you can take advantage of trends today with our resident trend expert, Dana Isom Johnson.
She's such a boss. Every time I hear her name, I have to say that, because I just think she's the best.
You might have seen Dana on some major TV networks talking about all the latest Etsy products, and she's a judge on NBC's upcoming reality series, Making It, which is hosted by Amy Poehler and Nick Offerman. So, hi, Dana. Thanks for talking
Hello.
To me today.
Hey.
First, can you tell me a little bit about your position here at Etsy and how you became a trend expert?
Yeah, so I've been at Etsy for over 6 years now. Can't believe it. But I've always been a member of the communications team, so always spreading the word to press or whoever about what is cool and what's happening in the world on Etsy.
So you create the Etsy trend guides. Mm-hmm. So can you tell me a little bit about what they are and, you know, why we make them, what goes into that process?
I just started writing those for 2017, and it's been such an amazing adventure and journey that I just thought we would try out, and sure enough, they're doing very well. So each month, I pick out a theme of what it's going to be about. So whether the topic is weddings or home decor or whatever that may be. And once the theme is chosen, I'll select items that support the trends. And so where I'll find the trends are shown within the Etsy marketplace. So what are the highest searched items? What are people really coveting on Etsy? And then I also kind of couple that along with what's trending in the outside world, and then tell the story of both those things together.
So how do you go about researching trends for the guides?
Yeah, so there are some industry insider destinations like WGSN, which is a trend forecasting service that I look at constantly. You know, constantly looking at kind of those street blogs, social media, always looking at, of course, the publications that are going to the fashion shows, looking at the fashion shows, because even though something is shown on a fashion runway, doesn't mean that that doesn't affect other categories like home or like kids or jewelry, because it's really all of kind of a trickle-down effect. One of my favorite stories from one of the past trend guides, I believe I started talking about it in the summer, but I was talking about celestial being one of the major trends. And that went across all categories. So it was in beauty, it was in home, it was in fashion. It was, you just kind of saw moon and stars everywhere. Mm-hmm. And this is a great example of something that actually started on Etsy, which is so very special because our sellers have the opportunity to not be tied down by the voices of, you know, a large brand. They're able to just use their own creativity and run with it and not, like I said, be held down by anybody. So to really see that trend kind of spark in our community and then have the opposite effect and kind of float around to all of the other major retail brands was just really something very special and something that our community should feel very proud about and understand that they themselves are trendsetters and are setting trends each and every day. And I'm looking and I'm hoping.
Always scouring.
To discover the next.
So speaking of all of those wonderful products on Etsy, how do you choose the ones that you're going to include in the guides?
So there's a few different factors. There's obviously the number one factor of, does it fit within the theme? Mm-hmm. And is it something new and fresh? Whenever I'm presenting something in a trend guide, it can't be something that the story is kind of stale and been seen before. Because we want the people who are reading this, whether they be sellers who are hopefully being inspired, or whether it's someone that I am showing to the press and showing on a TV show or something like that, we want it to be fresh and new. But when it comes to the sellers, like if you guys want your item featured, the thing that I'm really looking for, your photo quality has to be top notch because the trend guides are very visual, and so I want to make sure that it looks beautiful. So your item has to be clearly represented and the photography really has to be high quality.
Have you ever gotten any feedback from the sellers who have been featured?
All the time, and I love hearing feedback. In this past holiday gift guide, I featured this seller. Her shop is Sasha Samuel Jewelry. She makes absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous jewelry pieces, and she makes brooches and necklaces and earrings. Huge fan, Sasha. Hope you're listening. And Sasha actually generated over $4,000 worth of sales being featured in the trend guide that had only been live at that point for maybe 3 weeks or so. So not only is it a great tool for me to communicate with, you know, my press partners or whoever it may be, it's also really, really special for shoppers to see this. And that's who we want to see. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to inspire people to purchase from independent artists, from Etsy sellers. So Sasha is a great example of, you know, inspiring a community of buyers to get excited, to want to buy things. And they're special items that really don't compare to everything else out there.
So when it comes to forecasting trends, what tips can you share for sellers who are looking to do that on their own?
So I think the number one for sellers to think about is that when you think of the word trend, don't feel like you have to fall in line with what is, air quotes, trending. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, the reason why people come to Etsy in the first place is because they want something that hasn't been on every other shelf in the world. Mm-hmm. However, if it does fit into your brand story, then by all means, participate. And this is another thing that I tell Etsy sellers all the time too, is that you have an incredible advantage to other retailers in that you work in small batch, which means your production times don't have to be like those other big box stores that take weeks and weeks to produce. So if you see something in the market, like let's just say last year, I don't know if you guys remember, but I sure remember, rainbow highlighters, mm-hmm. unicorn everything, mm-hmm. millennial pink. It's like all these things kind of happened overnight. But being small batch producers, you guys have the ability to quickly adapt and fall in line if that's right for your brand.
So you're on TV pretty regularly. How do you choose what products you're going to feature on those TV shows?
Yeah, so TV is a different bit of a beast because with television, everything has to be incredibly visual. And it even has to have that size factor because it's very difficult to show small post earrings or, you know, small toys for kids or something like that because you have to show them in, you know, a huge quantity in order to even be picked up by the camera. So you always want to make sure that you show something that's visual, something that has beautiful colors, because otherwise your segment looks a little bland mm-hmm. and condensed.
Yeah, it's got to stand out.
It's got to stand out. Yep. Yeah.
Are there any differences between what you choose from show to show?
For sure. So it all depends on who the audience is. I do a lot of pieces with the Today Show or with GMA or Fox and Friends. And depending on what time the show airs, that's who's watching it. People who are getting ready to go to work versus on the weekends, you have families watching the show. So that all depends on what products are being chosen. And then, of course, it's all about what's the segment, what is the subject matter. And that will always help guide me.
Yeah. So let's talk about trends for January. What are you seeing a lot of these days?
January is all about a fresh start. It's new year, so, you know, think about how can you really focus on self-care, treating yourself, buying some fantastic yoga products, and really focusing on being fit and healthy and revived and refreshed. And I think one seller that I love, love, love her product. She makes handmade beauty products, and back to that small batch thing, which is still trending very heavily. Her name is Jessica Palermo, or her shop is Palermo Body, I believe. Mm-hmm. But Jessica is a really great example of how she's been staying on top of beauty trends and self-care routines, and she's really fantastic.
So how can sellers apply these trends to their shops, like thinking about trends in terms of product development?
So when it comes to sellers thinking about trends, first ask yourself the question, is this appropriate for my brand? And does this apply to my design aesthetic? If the answer is no, then you should not adapt to this trend. But if so, and if you think this has legs, I think one great example, and we can dig into this later, but, you know, the Pantone color of the year is ultraviolet. That's merely a color. Mm-hmm. So that has endless possibilities of how people can adapt that to their shop, what they create, what they make, still while embracing all of their creative juices and being able to make whatever they want, but offering it in an additional colorway. Mm-hmm. So that's a great way to think about how you can incorporate a new trend into your collection. So ways that you can morph the Pantone color of the year into your shop, depending on what you make. If you make ceramics, paint your ceramics in ultraviolet. Mm-hmm. If you are a jeweler, perhaps you want to incorporate some amethyst stones. Mm-hmm. Or if you don't even work with stones, pressed flowers has also been a huge trend. So find some violet or lavender colored flowers and press the flower, and then maybe that could be a part of it. If you are into home decor, perhaps there's a tapestry that you want to incorporate, or pillow covers or throws. These are just a few options that you guys can use to incorporate within whatever it is that you make. You know, another huge trend that's going into 2018 that was pretty strong in 2017 is wallpaper. Mm-hmm. I'm dying for this trend. I love it so much. I love it. I want to like wallpaper my entire apartment. But I think, you know, when you think about wallpaper, don't think about it so literally. Like, it doesn't have to just live in a home. Perhaps you want to create a locket. If you are a jewelry maker and you want the inside of the locket to have one printed piece of wallpaper, and then there's space for a picture on the other side. Or perhaps you want to make some earrings that have wallpaper as the backing for the print. There are lots of different ways that you can incorporate it, but I think it's just to not think inside the box and removing yourself from just thinking, that's the trend, I have to follow the trend. No. You guys are creative people. That's why we love working with you. That's why the world loves shopping on Etsy, because it is a community filled of creative people.
So what about the rest of 2018? Can we dig into some of your predictions for what's ahead?
Yeah. My favorite of them all for home is Wabi Sabi. I don't know if you guys know what wabi-sabi is, but it is a Japanese philosophy that's really all about embracing imperfections. Mm-hmm. This should take a load off of everyone's back who is a perfectionist, mm-hmm. and who wants everything to look perfect and primped, and no, throw it out the door. Throw it out. Wabi Sabi is embracing imperfection. So if you are a ceramicist, that mistake that you maybe made when you were throwing your pottery, it's okay. Love it. Love it. Embrace it. And the same goes across the board. So if you are a painter, if you make bed linens, even if you are making sheets, they don't have to be perfectly pressed. Mm-hmm. It's actually really, really refreshing to see linens that have a little bit of crinkling to them. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the great examples that I included in my trend guide when it comes to wabi-sabi. Mm-hmm. But it's just, take a load off.
Yeah.
Be happy that you don't have to make the bed perfectly.
I think everyone can use that,
right?
After this year.
Yeah. And it's just, just show the beauty in the imperfection and the raw gemstones and the, if you are a woodworker and you're creating a table, if that piece of wood has a slight burn mark or if it's
or
not
ridge.
Perfectly yeah. edged, yeah, like, just love it. That means that whoever is purchasing it is purchasing from a person and your hands touched it and it's completely handmade. For jewelry, one of the trends that are really cool right now is mismatched earrings. I think it kind of goes back to what are the common themes? The common theme is the 80s and the 90s are strong. And if you remember, that's what it was about in those late 80s, early 90s. Kind of grungy a little bit, which is another piece to this. The choker, we saw a strong trend in the choker last year, but I think with this year, they're going to be updated a bit. So imagine the choker to be open. Imagine the choker to have a little bit of layering effects. So maybe some chains that are dangling from it. So it's not going away. We're just seeing it refreshed a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I mentioned a little earlier the Pantone color of the year, which is kind of a big deal that's named every year if you guys aren't familiar with it. But Pantone is just a company that really kind of specializes in, think of it as like the color wheel that companies will match back to match specific colors to, or you're working with different vendors. That is the color guide that you go to. And they've kind of owned the Pantone color of the year for quite some time now, and everyone is always looking forward to what that may be.
So you're going to be one of the judges on NBC's new show, Making It. Tell me a bit about the show.
I'm so excited. I'm just like over the moon excited. So on the show, it is a reality-based show, and it is all about embracing makers. Mm-hmm. And there are 8 contestants. And each week, the contestants make 2 crafts. One is the faster craft, which they're given 3 hours to just create something just kind of on the fly. And then the second piece is the master craft, which they were given 12 hours to make a collection of items. So the collection is either 2 or 3 items. And of course, each episode has a common theme that they have to follow. I am a judge alongside my buddy Simon Doonan, the Simon Doonan. So Simon and I will walk through, give each of the makers advice and tips to how they can make their project a little better. And then Amy and Nick are there for really just kind of comic relief and there to always encourage the makers as well. Each episode, we unfortunately have to send someone home, but it was beyond exciting. I think this show is different from any other competition reality show, because there are absolutely no negative vibes. There were many times that if a maker finished before the clock ran out, they would actually go and help their fellow maker. As a person who is quite the TV watcher, I can honestly say that I've never seen another show that has such a feel-good vibe like this one does.
Oh, that's very Etsy.
Yeah.
Very much
yeah,
in the vein.
Totally.
So how can everyone listening keep an eye out for more information about the show?
Commercials have just started rolling out a bit on NBC, but you can also follow along on the Facebook page. So it's just facebook.com/NBC Making It. And then you can also follow me on Instagram, and I will be giving updates as they come along. And I'm just at Dana Isom Johnson.
Okay. Now it's time for the lightning round, where we've collected questions from you, the sellers, in the forums. Maurice MLO from MLO Artware asks, What is the trend in vintage?
Hi, Maurice. So like I mentioned earlier, 80s and 90s continue to be pretty strong, particularly within home. Brass is coming back, and as I mentioned before, wallpaper continues to be strong as well. But now think about offering wallpaper that could also be treatments to ceilings, because it's really about removing that thought of minimalism. We've thought about minimalism for so long that now it's starting to trickle out and maximalism is coming in. And as far as for fashion, logo tees are back. But again, that's what we wore in the 90s. That's what was happening. There were no, you know, minimalist plain anything. Everything had words and
images,
images and all of that. Velvet everything, from home decor to fashion. I just purchased a velvet suit.
Oh my God.
Pretty pumped about it.
I'm so jealous.
From Etsy. I wish I could remember the shop name, but velvet couch, velvet pillow, velvet suit. You know, I can't even believe I'm saying this, but remember the old velour jogging suits?
Oh,
also
yes.
Seen those.
I'm into that, though.
Me too. I mean, you know, the athleisure trend is clearly not going away. So that's another thing that I think is pretty strong, especially for vintage, because you guys can revive those, bring them back, keep them fresh in your shop. Fanny packs, load them up. They're happening. Fringe, think about fringe in fashion, in home, in jewelry. This is a great thing that can be translated throughout all categories. So for you vintage sellers out there, dig and find the fringe. I know it's going to be really, really strong. And while I don't think mid-century modern, I don't think it's going away. So especially for the vintage furniture sellers, you know, it's still going to be pretty popular. But again, it's more about how are you styling those pieces? Because it's no longer those extra clean lines and, you know, clean tabletops, because we're talking about maximalism. We're talking about loading up your walls with art, loading up the tables with beautiful coffee table books and things like that.
Liana from Wild Rose Sparrow says, what bridal trends would you predict will be big in 2018? Will the rustic boho wedding still be the main wedding aesthetic, or are we moving towards something else?
The rustic wedding aesthetic will still be there. Mm-hmm. It's still there. We're still talking soft florals and being romantic, because again, think about that Pantone color. That ultraviolet it's kind of like a easy transition away from millennial pink, because we're still in soft pastels, mm-hmm. but it's just kind of taking a different turn. So rustic is still going to be strong. Jumpsuits, and more jumpsuits. I watched a bunch of the shows, and I've seen so many jumpsuits on, whether it's a bride, whether it's the bridal party, whether it's the flower girl, like, offer something. The number one thing to think about when it comes to weddings is that is the most personalized experience of all. Mm-hmm. So whatever your shop may be, personalized anything for a wedding is always great, because that is the time to really tell your love story, tell the story of, you know, you guys as a unit, the couple as the story progressed of their love. Mm-hmm. So just think of how can you offer something personalized for that special day. And oh, the one other thing, hello, I'm tripping. we have a little thing that is not in our country, but the royal wedding, folks, is happening.
Oh, yeah.
In May. So it is something that I'm for sure going to be tuned in to hear all of the details about, because I'm sure that trends will arise from that day as well. And my trend guide for weddings will be out in early 2018, so I don't want to give away too much. So stay tuned.
On the edge of my seat here. Vintage Fables says, minimalism has been a big trend in jewelry for some time now. In your opinion, do you think that is set to continue?
You're absolutely right. Minimalism it's starting to phase out just a bit. I don't think it's definitely not completely donezo, but it's starting to slow up. What I really saw within the shows are big statement earrings, because we've had such small earrings for so long, and so statement earrings were really strong, and I've already seen so many Etsy sellers start carrying some really, really beautiful earrings, and so I can't wait to tap some of you guys to list that in a guide. We already talked about mismatch earrings, and one other thing that kind of hurts my heart, because I'm such a gold lover, is that silver is pretty strong, and I think it may be the preferred metal this year, which breaks my heart.
I'm on the same level, same as you.
Gosh, I love brass a gilded gold anything.
Yep. We can still do it. I think we can still pull it off.
Well, you know what, Tess? Here's the deal. It's like I tell everybody. Even though silver is strong, that's not my brand identity.
That's true.
I'm a gold girl. So in this case, I probably will not follow that trend.
Whitney Burkowski from Otto and Burke asks, what trends have you been seeing for Valentine's Day gifts and cards?
The three trends I'm most excited about for Valentine's Day, Galentine's Day, pets, and treat yourself. Galentine's Day is all about really just celebrating the love between you and your group of friends and not tying yourself down to that one specific meaning of Valentine's Day. I think we've gotten caught in that traditional definition of Valentine's Day, and all three of these things are about stepping outside of that and knowing that Valentine's Day is really a day that you celebrate all kinds of love, mm-hmm. not just one kind of love. Mm-hmm. So Galentine's Day is all about you and your buds. Mm-hmm. Pets is all about you and Fido. In my case, my dog's name is Paco, and I always get Paco a special Valentine's
Day
treat.
What kind of dog?
Paco's a Lhasa. And he's actually blind, and so I keep blunt bangs on him. He looks like a little Sia dog.
Oh my god. So fashionable.
But I definitely get him something every year, and I think that more and more people want to do fun things like that that are different and not in the norm of Valentine's Day. And then the final one, treat yourself, is about self-love. It's exactly what we were talking about at the top of this with, like, January being about a fresh start and, you know, kind of embracing all of the wellness thoughts, bringing your mantras to life and all of that. So this is all about, like, why not treat yourself on a day that's about love? You should be loving yourself before you love anyone else anyway. So get that stuff, girl. Do you.
Dana, thanks so much again for being here today and sharing your insights on what's to come in 2018.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
As always, we'd like to bring the episode to a close with Shop Talk. We post a question in the forums and on the Etsy Success social channels, and you send us your answer by calling in or emailing us a voice memo. This week, we asked how you plan to show your shop some love in 2018. Here are some of the responses you sent in.
Hi, my name is Mina of Miku, and this year I'm going to show my shop some love by focusing on originality and getting more involved with my communities, both locally and digitally. So in my shop, I hand paint wine glasses, and while I've been doing it for years, I'm finally feeling like I've developed my own unique style and I feel more confident about my work. So moving forward, I don't want to worry about playing it safe, but I want to be more in the spirit of sharing things that truly fascinate me in a way that will resonate with others. And then going along with building that sense of community, I'm considering hosting workshops so I can share my craft with people that might be interested and also just create more opportunities to collaborate more personally with other artists.
Hi, my name is Abigail of Abigail Design. I am going to show my Etsy shop some love for 2018 by continuing to add one item to my shop each day. I noticed when I started my shop that I would go back and visit it a few times a day just to look at it, and I always felt so pleased at what I had there. And at first I felt guilty in a way because I thought, is it sort of narcissistic and self-centered to be looking at my own shop and feeling so pleased? And I realized after some time that when I would post one or two items per day, that it was essentially like a journal, that I was investing a part of myself in each of the items that I was posting up in my shop. And it was just a way to revisit who I was and what I was feeling and what I was experiencing in that time. So that's why I love being on Etsy. And hopefully I can continue on with this pattern and continue to show Etsy some love.
Hello, Etsy community. I'm Volisha Henderson, shop owner of Volian Riston. I'm so excited to step into 2018 as a bigger, even better business owner. The number one thing I would love to continue in 2018 is really pounding the pavement and getting into more women's expos and shows to be able to get my creations out to the world. I want to build great relationships and execute excellent customer service. 2018, welcome the bigger, better, more beautiful Volian Riston shop.
That's it for today. Remember to subscribe on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.